Hey again, welcome everybody again to BitNote with David Collins. We'll be playing video game music and talking about the games they're from. Hope you enjoy. All right, why don't we get some really fast-moving music to get us into the mood. Interestingly enough, this is actually just from a menu music theme, but have a listen.
Thank you.
And that was the menu music by Thomas Baracci from Far Cry by Crytek. Now, Far Cry is a fun game. It is set in a gigantic tropical island, or archipelago to be more accurate, and essentially, some scientists have set up some things there and hired more mercenaries than you'd think reasonably under the circumstance. And essentially, you're a guy in a red tropical shirt who's ends up mixed up in everything and just has to fight his way through to figure out what's going on while obeying instructions and stuff. It was really breakthrough, cutting edge, gorgeous for its time. And even these days, it's just a nice environment. All these tropical trees and these great beaches and all this sort of stuff. And the old ruin there and stuff. But the real fun of the game is the fact that you can just take a long survey at the area in front of you and then decide how you want to approach it. I mean, for instance, if there's a village up ahead with enemy troops in it, do you sneak up, take them one at a time? Or do you go up and try to gun them, try to pick them off at a distance? Or do you get into a jeep, drive at them at full throttle, and try to smash right through everything? It's stuff like this that just makes Far Cry a lot of fun. There's usually a couple of different routes you can take, and even though naturally it's like a lot of games where you have to go from one point to the other, there's a bit of variety in how you approach your objectives and a couple of different routes, which is a lot of fun. I like the varieties of weapons. I like the general settings, and it just looks very nice as well. I mean, the company Crytek has gone on and was really trying to push the Cry engine at the time. Do you see a naming theme here? It's not just how it looks, though. It's also that the enemy AI is clever. The physics, well, you know, back then having ragdoll physics, you know, enemies that shoot and they flop down realistically. That was a big thing back then. You know, game engines were sort of going towards it. Of course, I remember one time I killed a guy and for some reason he fell down and ended up just standing there like on one knee facing, and that was his collapsed pose. I like kind of looked around him and wondering, aren't you going to like fall over? But so I shot him and then he fell over. But it's just, it's kind of funny these sort of glitches you get when the technology is just emerging. But I always liked it. Far Cry wasn't good the whole way through, though. It's kind of got one unfortunate example of when it went back to the standard old days of corridor shooting. Corridor shooting is essentially what it sounds like. You go from corridor to corridor shooting enemies as you go. And the great thing about Far Cry was it was more, you know, going through varied environments, dealing with all these troops that might be coming from different locations, and you had to try to figure off the best way to be defensive but also offensive, whether you sneak or just grab into a jeep and go, and the way you could sometimes use vehicles and others. There's a lot of variation in your tactics. But then towards the end of the game, there's one really annoying part where you just end up having to go through a science facility, and it seems like it's ripped off of other games. But the one part that I actually always remember about Far Cry is the last bit. Think of it this way. You go through this double doors and you basically like an airlock, and you see this gigantic like crater. I think it's the top of a volcano. And suddenly all these enemies are like, you know, all hidden at various locations that are shooting powerful weapons at you. And it's just, I played it and I kept dying over and over. I mean, just before you hit the double doors, there's this gigantic room full, well, not gigantic, but this great room full of all this health and ammo and like far more weapons and health packs and armor than you could ever need. And then you go through the doors and you can't get back to it, so you're suddenly being riddled by all these shots, and no matter how much I could try to keep each other off, I couldn't approach the crater from another direction. I mean, sometimes I tried to go down, but I ended up getting shot pretty quickly. And sometimes I tried to snipe them off and hidden away, but then they'd snipe back. I mean, finally what I did was, of course, this was the earlier games where items had physical properties, like if there's a box and table and you bumped into it, it'd knock over. But I grabbed one of the machine guns, like that had a lot of ammo, but available in the thing. And there was a small little chair in the health room, and basically I shot it in the chair in brief spurts, and I kept shooting the chair forward. And each time I shot it, it would move forward, so I kept shooting it. I shot it away from that ammo room, down the corridor, down a set of steps, over, right over to the first door of the double door airlock, until it was right between the double doors. And then I moved it, and I moved forward and opened the second door, and that opened. And then the door behind me tried to close, but it hit the chair and then went open again. So with the door jammed open, I ended up going out into the crater, shooting as many enemies as I could with all the enemies I have. Then I got shot several times. You know, I killed a few of them. I got shot several times. My health was low. I backed out, went back to the ammo room, replenished, and went out and gave it another go. Even with that, and did it once or twice, just depleting what was left in the ammo room. I mean, even with that, it was still a little tricky, but I just always liked how I just, you know, finding little ways to, you know, glitch the game. Or, I mean, I consider that just using the environment to my advantage. Whether or not the developers ever specifically intended for people that level to be beaten that way is purely beside the point to me. Video games are a bad challenge, and it's just, but I think it's definitely rewarding when you find a clever way of solving a problem like that. Another thing I liked doing with the game was coming up with all these retorts for all the insults and stuff the enemy guys yelled out. So it'd be like, you know, I'm going to take you out. And I'd go, but we've just met. Or, you know, I'm going to make you miss you were dead. And I'm going, I'm going to make you wish you weren't. Unfortunately, due to limitations in technology, they were unable to actually respond to any of my retorts. So I just had to keep shooting at them. Such is life. Far Cry got a sequel, which was set in Africa for some reason, but I think the spiritual successor to that was really Crysis, yes again with the naming convention, that once again took us back to these great big tropical environments, though of course in this case with great big military guys and aliens involved in some way or other. And Crysis 2 came out and then set everything in New York City. So if you want your fix for tropical locations, I do believe that Far Cry 3 will end up providing that, which is going to be released sometime in the future. So, next piece of game music, I guess. That, my friends, was The Baron by The Volcanics from the video game Atom Zombie Smasher by Blendo Games, who is actually really just a one-man operation called Brendan Chung. Now, you might say, zombies, I'll be honest with you, I've always found zombies just a tad tiring. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. Like any element or any ingredient, they can make great games, and like, I've played enough Dead Rising games to know that you can have fun with them. But it's just, there seems to be, with some people, a love of zombies that I never quite appreciated. Maybe it's that, you know, I didn't really watch many or any zombie movies when I was growing up. And maybe it's because the idea of a zombie apocalypse where a huge amount of my friends, family and close relatives who I love very much end up either dead or turned into these shambling monsters that end up doing the same thing to other people is just something that just I'd find hugely discomforting. I mean, whatever about the fantastic scenario of surviving in a land of zombies, I think that I'd just be emotionally crushed under the first few days, if I even survived at all. But aside from that, zombies are also don't tend to be very good enemies in games, since they rarely require much strategy and so on and so forth. Any good zombie game usually addresses this by either having a variety of enemies or just using zombies more as something to slow you down rather than the enemy itself. But Adam Zombie Smasher, okay, so what's this game about? Essentially, you're not really attacking zombies on the ground at all. You're basically trying to rescue these people. It's a top-down operation. You've got this view of the section of the city from the air, and the idea is there's all these people milling about, which are yellow rectangles. All these zombies themselves are just purple rectangles viewed from above. So it's kind of a bit abstract, but it somehow really works, because once you see those purple rectangles reach the yellow rectangles, you're going, no, wait, and they hit it, and then suddenly the yellow rectangles turn purple, and then suddenly they're zombies, and then if they touch something. So gradually, it just really captures the idea of the zombie, you know, invasion, apocalypse, where if one zombie hits, if there's even one zombie, and he hits a decent crowd of people, then suddenly it spreads instantly, and so a few zombies can go from a small threat to a massive threat very quickly. It's just a great use of, you know, using this mechanic. And essentially your job is, usually you've got the city, usually the zombies are coming in from more than one side of the city, and you've basically got to land all these choppers and rescue as many people as possible, and if you can at all, completely eliminate zombies from the map. And you've got to do it before nightfall, because if nightfall comes, then suddenly you're deluged with zombies. Now, of course, it raises the question, is if you remove all the zombies from the map, then why do you not get deluged with zombies when nightfall does come? But that's a side question. The fact is, it's a challenge, and what you have to do is usually by orbital bombardment of some degree. Yep, that's pretty much it. You've got a bunch of resources. Sometimes you can set up blockades that block the zombies, or sometimes you have a team of snipers that'll have a narrow focus from the rooftops, or a set of armies that you move around the map and they'll shoot any zombies on sight. But one of your strongest weapons is the idea of just having these people that can send huge amounts of orbital bombardments down. Sometimes it'll strike and blast and kill a huge blast radius. And that's the challenge, because sometimes that blast radius will include civilians, so you've got to make a thing, you know. Do you have to make the decision of just, oh, I'll save everyone, which is usually impossible, or take that thing of like the anti-hero in most movies where you say, sorry, but unfortunately, sacrifices must have to be made, and then drop this huge bomb that will obliterate so many zombies, but also a fair chunk of civilians as well. It's kind of tragic when you think about it like that, but, you know, it's that's what the game's about. You try to do what you can to win and to rescue as many as possible, but trying to rescue anything is sometimes something you just can't rise to the challenge of. To make matters worse, any explosive thing usually destroys buildings, and the more buildings you destroy, what usually happens is that the more free reign the zombies have. It's every level you just try to have to figure out what right combination of aerial bombardment, military troops, blockades, dynamite, anything you can, just to keep the zombies away from the civilians long enough. Sometimes it's fun trying to retry levels to try to get a better result, but sometimes, no matter how hard you try, it's better just to accept your losses and move on. To the next level, at least. Speaking of accepting losses and move on, why don't I move on to the last game? One which takes place after an apocalypse. Hey, not a zombie apocalypse, the more conventional nuclear apocalypse, though they are mutants that run around, which are these great big mutant creatures, so it still has the whole idea of battling these really weird life forms. I'll just start with the menu music for the game. Thank you. And that, my friends, was the Main Menu music for Metro 2033 by 4A Games. And the music for the game was composed by Alexei Omolchuk and Gioji Belogaski. Metro 2033 takes place in a post-apocalyptic Moscow. It was, if you can guess, caused by, unfortunately, what remained of World War III. Nukes falling, the city in ruins, and the radiation giving rise to mutants. And it's heavily implied in some points that Moscow is the only city left in the world with people left in it. And of course, to use the cliched phrase, it's basically at the humanity at the edge of extinction. You are Artyom. You're a regular sort of guy who's basically spent his entire life in the underground subway station. Because essentially that's what Metro 2033 is about. The whole vestiges of human civilization is now driven literally underground and taking refuge and building up cities and villages in underground metro stations and traveling usually through the abandoned subway tunnels. It's a really nice aspect of the game. It gets a little tiring a few hours in though, but essentially it's setting these vibrant worlds where all these different groups and different civilizations and different villages are all based around all these subway stations. You can see crashed trains from like years past, or you can see where basically they took a double-decker subway car and essentially converted it into a habitation. In fact, that's pretty much what a lot of people are sleeping in, bunks in old railway carriages. And sometimes you're traversing from one station to another and you have to climb into one end of the old subway thing and climb out the other. And I mean, that's what the game's about, essentially. You're Artyom, and there's these hunters who are like these really skilled, like badass people of the underground. And essentially one hunter is tasked you that if he doesn't return, you're to deliver a message. Because essentially your civilization isn't just being threatened by the poisonous gas above or all the or of course all the vicious mutants below, but a new threat, the Dark Ones, whose motives no one can fully understand and apparently have killed so many people and are pushing things to extinction. So you begin a trek to Polis Station through the underground tracks of the railway, dealing with sometimes as much trouble with other human beings as you are with civilization. Even after war and conflict is bringing people to the dregs of civilization, pushed it to the very limit, yet you still see human beings around you viciously attacking and killing each other, and you're just trying to struggle through it, whether underground or overground, and viewing the post-apocalyptic ruins of Moscow through your gas mask before diving underground again and continuing onwards. That's so much of what the game is about. It's just atmosphere. It's being about being pushed to the brink of civilization and just seeing what it's about. And it's also in a weird way about humanity, about showing about how much you've done. And despite the fact that you're now with weapons and a lot of the game is trying to shoot or blast your way through, still asking you, is there some such stuff that can still be salvaged? I mean, can humanity break the cycle of violence? And towards the end of the game, you start to vaguely get an answer to that question. You see, the game actually has two endings. And I mean, the two endings pretty much represent two different ways of looking at the game. Whether you're willing to just keep fighting for your own corner, to keep fighting just like everyone else does, or whether you want to do something a bit more than that, something that maybe opened up an opportunity in another direction. Which ending you get is determined a lot by your actions through the game, by so many little subtle moments here and there, by so many snatched bits of conversation and minor actions you make and ways you approach the game. I haven't even figured out the full system of how it works, to be honest, but in the end I do believe that if you play the game following your heart, you'll get the ending that you really deserve. Whichever one that is. Other things about the game is just the huge amount of atmosphere that the game has soaking in. I mean, a lot of other games would have just, you know, in order to show humanity on the peak, would have just shown great big glorious monuments shattered. But this game does it differently. One of the earliest scenes in the game is just walking simply through an infirmary after an attack. Seeing all these people lying on the bed, coughing, groaning, looking for help. I mean, yeah, that's something that just really brings it home to you. But even more lighter moments, like just hearing a guy play on his guitar to a bit of an audience, or hearing two girls talk about how there's this one cute guy and stuff. I mean, there's actually a fair bit of humor in the game. People have sometimes it's a bit cynical, but sometimes it's just good-natured. And it all just works so well with the whole atmosphere of the game and all its various moments. Oh boy, there's even like this one moment where you're walking with this guy down a long abandoned tunnel and... well, I don't think I'll spoil it when I say it seems like the ghosts of the devastation that led this civilization to where it was today seemed so present in that tunnel. So it just has a rich tapestry, the game does, of light and dark, of humor and stuff. And it certainly makes you feel like the true Odyssey as you try to get through the game and find your way to Polis Station. The actual gameplay, which I feel compelled to actually mention on this point, is pretty good. You know, like most first-person shooters, and it still is a first-person shooter. You still are in various situations where you have to, where you have an enemy that you must shoot at. The fact that it's not always like that, or that the game finds ways around it, is actually one of the things that distinguishes it, but it's certainly a first-person shooter. The weapon has a great variety, and it's not just about proving the most powerful one, but you might also want to choose the most stealthy one. Or, because ammo is so damn sparse in the game, you might choose a gun which you can actually retrieve the ammo from, such as like a hunting knife, or this really cool pneumatic weapon that shoots out these spikes, and then you just have to literally walk up and pull the spikes back out if you want to keep going. And with that, I'll wrap up. I'll finish up with the music from the ending of the game that I got on my first run through. I think it's definitely the ending that I really wanted, and I really was happy to get. And honestly, when I found the effect of it... I'll just play it. This has been David Collins with BitNote. Thank you for listening.